HFR. KD2HFR disconnected.
Checknet at 9 o'clock. I just wanted to finish this out in case I'm still in the store at that point. But I should be out long before then. Over.
Yeah, over. Sounds good. Going on, stay loaded in case someone else wants to work you. Catch you later. W2TTT and 2IEE will be listening.
Okay, John, very good. We'll see you later, 7-3, into IEEW2TTT.
W2TTT disconnected.
Things we've done, things we aspire to do.
murder, as they say. And of course, the ever-popular, things we never want to do again. So, you're pretty much welcome to talk about anything you want, as long as it's roughly related to amateur radio. Having said all that, we have a different check-in procedure than most normal nets. We check in with our call sign, our name, and then we indicate whether we have a question, a comment, a for sale swap or a wanted item, some combination of those things, or none of the above. You might ask, why in God's name would you check into a net if you had nothing to contribute? And the answer is, well, by checking in, we know you're there, and we can kind of focus on topics that we suspect you might be interested in. So that's also a good thing. So that's why we do it that way. So we do encourage you to check in, even if you don't think you have a question, a comment, a sales offer, wanted item, etc. So, with no further ado, let's start with the Whiskey 2s. Whiskey 2, J.E.K., you're first. What's your intention tonight? K2BAR.
Okay, 2BAR, W2JEK, good evening. Well, I don't have much to talk about, really, but I will make a mention of the... that I will be making BE testing. We'll chat about that when my time comes. Back to that, W2JEK.
Very good, Don. Are there any other Whiskey 2s?
Whiskey Uniform 2 Sierra, Randy, Washington Township. Nothing to comment on this evening.
Thank you, Randy. One comment you said?
Steve, with a comment?
I got that, Steve. Randy, you have a comment as well?
Not tonight, thank you.
Okay, very good. Although I think you should probably make a comment about the 3.0 software, the tunneling, but that's just me. All right. Alrighty. Alright, so I have Randy, possibly with a comment. I'll leave it there. And then I have Steve, WI2W, with a comment at some point. And are there any other whiskeys?
Good evening, Gordon, WA2UMP, Jim in Pearl River, and just listening this evening.
And W2NHZ, handles Matt. Good evening all, and as you put it, none of the above. Back to you, Gordon.
Okay, I have Jim and I have Matt. Welcome aboard, gentlemen. Any other whiskeys?
WE2R, Charlie, just listening, Gordon.
Good evening, Sir Charles. All righty, any other whiskeys?
W2TKE, Frank in Montvale, just listening.
Hey Frank, welcome aboard. I don't recall ever working you again, but I gotta ask, were you ever a member of a certain fraternity? Kappa Chi Epsilon? Say Tau Kappa Epsilon, sorry.
Yes, Gordon, that's the one. You know me. We've met several times. I used to be ADKG. I haven't been on a TechNet in a while.
Okay, very good. And yeah, I recognize the voice, but I wanted to ask. Very good. And you do strike me as a teak kind of guy, but that's just me. I'll tell you about that. I didn't pledge, but I'll tell you stories later. They're pretty funny, actually. Alrighty, any other whiskeys? Okay, Frank, real quick, you were none of the above, right?
Yes, I'm just talking.
Okie dokes, very good, thanks. Welcome. Alrighty, how about the Novembers? Starting with N2OEL, Noel, what's your pleasure?
This is N2OEL. Actually, I got a question about antenna, RHS. When I was testing it on the Baronet last night, opened it up, putting it out, putting the regular antenna on, this 7 inches, 40 inches, and really, it went from noisy to fitful quieting. And I don't believe the advertisements about antennas, but this thing, a couple things. Looks at the bottom of the antenna about 4 or 5 inches above the radio. And by doing that, you have more of a counterpoise. At the bottom, you have the... Well, I shouldn't be talking about this. What am I doing? Hey, make sure. I'll just check it. Blame it on the drugs, guys.
Yep, I was going to say. Alrighty. Very good, Noel. Yeah, we'll get to that. RH650S antenna. We'll come back to that. Any other Novembers? Alrighty, moving right along. Any Kilo 2s?
82HPY.
Welcome, Greg. Any other kilos?
Kilo Delta 2, Foxtrot Tango Alpha. Name here is Alex. Gordon, we've spoken many times. And a question about Wyndham antennas when we get to it.
Looks like it's an antenna kind of night so far. Okay, very good. Any other kilos?
Kilo Delta 2, Delta India Golf, Don Massapequa. Good evening, Gordon. Just listening.
Donald, welcome aboard again. Any others?
Kilo Bravo 2, Tango Romeo Whiskey. Good morning from Bravo Victor. This is Kai. Just listening tonight. Or morning. Back to you.
Sorry, just had a small interruption that was important. What was your call again, sir? All right, who is that again, please?
Kilo Bravo 2, Tango Romeo Whiskey. Good morning from Bravo Victor. I'm just listening.
Oh, hi, Kai. I'm sorry. I was interrupted by something that my wife wanted to tell me that was very important. So, forgive me. Next? Okay, any other kilos? Alrighty, how about whiskeys? We did whiskeys, November, alphas, I'm sorry. Alrighty, so we have no alphas. Any other stations via the repeater? Alright, any stations via Echolink?
Gordon, this is Kai, Kilo Bravo 2, Tango Romeo Whiskey. I'm not sure how long I can stay on, but I... starting my day in Bravo Victor. So, 7-3.
Lord, Bravo Victor. So you're in China now? You're in Hong Kong?
I'm currently in Taipei, Taiwan. Back to you.
Oh, yes. A thousand pardons, Bravo Victor. Yeah, okay. Very nice. Well, you're as crystal clear as sitting next to me. In fact, your audio is so good, it sounds like Noel's, who probably has about the best audio the net tonight. Alrighty, well, welcome aboard, and happy Friday, I guess, to you, and away you go. Wow, yep, that's pretty cool. I think you're the best DX we've ever had, so I'm going to log that. I apologize, Kai, for being a little slow on the uptake before. I'll just put KB2TRW stroke Bravo Victor. That's cool. Anyway, welcome. Alrighty, Don, it's your ball. W2JEK, K2BAR.
Okay, K2BAR, and then that's W2JEK. Good evening, everybody. I will be getting new test dates for the early part of 2015. I sent a list in to Jim K2ZO. Checked him out with the officials, and if they're okay, and I get the okay, then I will put them on the ARRA website and the ARRL's website. The only other thing we have going now is Gordon is going to be running his class for technicians on December 26th at buddy after Thanksgiving, and that night at 7 o'clock, Larry Gang will come down and we'll have a test session at 7 p.m. at the St. John's Church in Bergenfield. Our testing stands right now, and welcome to our new ham here. Greg up in Montvale was in the last test session and passed his tech license there. Welcome aboard. Back to that. W2JEK.
That's great. That's great. Well, first things first, Greg, we're going to ask you in a minute just to introduce yourself a little bit, what you're using in the way of radio, antennas, et cetera, and what do you hope to do in amateur radio? Why'd you get your license, and what else is of interest to you potentially in the future? Where do you want to go with your next couple of steps and maybe even some longer-term steps in amateur radio? So in the meantime, does anybody else have any questions, comments, or confusions regarding Don's announcement about the upcoming testing or licensing in general? Alrighty, very good. Just one further note, Don. In order to increase the passing rate, I've been running a couple of weeks of classes using the pre-test study guide from Gordon West, which and in addition to the one-day crash course we'll do on the 26th, which the night of which you and your merry band of very kind souls will come out and run a test session, which, by the way, is open to others as well, but Don needs to would like to know in advance for obvious reasons. I mean, obviously, you can take any exam you want, but you know, he'd like to try to make this as sensible as possible and make sure he's got adequate staff in preparation of exams, etc. But we're all good. Anything you want to add, Don, before we ask Greg about himself a bit?
No, I always come equipped for all classes of exam. I tech or the general or the extra, I have them all with me all the time when I come with big boxes. Why it's there, it's big because I have all the exams for all of them. And as far as getting in touch with me, really, the only thing it would be good to know if people are coming, we take walk-ins, but if doubt about the weather conditions or whether the school will be closed or because of a weather condition, usually that's what happened, or some unusual event that occurs that we can't use the school when having our barrier test sessions up at the school. Especially in the wintertime here in January, February, March, and of course this one in December, people are intending to come. The idea to let me know at least that you are coming, so if I do have to cancel, I'm not going to anybody standing out there in the cold, going buzz and everything to get there and find out things and cancel it. I think they put that up on their website on AORL, but if you have any doubts, just call my phone number. It's on the website. It'd be the best way to get in touch. Or let me know one way or the other that you are coming. I can, you know, give me a phone number that I can get back to you right away, not to depend on an email to get there a day late or something. Back to that W2JEK.
Yeah, good idea. Absolutely great idea, actually. Alrighty. Let's see. So, Greg, this is your time to shine. KD2HPY from K2BARW2TTT. Tell us a bit about yourself and what your amateur radio reasons for licensure and plan short-term and long, what you really think is cool, what you really don't know about, but you want to learn more about, things like that.
Okay, well, thanks for the bright light here. Just quickly, I guess, way back when I was living old, my dad used a general class ham, and we hatched up to him. He had a great idea to get a general license himself, to be able to contactly. That means Bill took multimeter and electronic gear and studied and passed the general license, which that expired a couple of years. But that kind of always motivated me to look into doing the ham radio. I'm a computer guy, being a guy, I had always wanted to do wireless data communication. Time before Wi-Fi and cell phones, whole packet type of radio. I thought that ham might be a great way to do it. That was right around the time when they came out with region class license. I had studied a little bit, but got distracted with other things. Wound up hooking up with a friend of mine, Frank, W2KTK Frank, and on our runs together, we trained for triathlons, on our runs together we would talk about this, and he got interested and wound up taking the license, and kind of motivated me to take my license, and thanks to the guys at Mara, I passed it myself. Where I want to go with this, I'm not sure yet. I'm still exploring. Again, I'm into the whole technology aspect of things, so I like the digital stuff, the APRS stuff, packet radio, all of that kind of thing. So I don't know where this is going to go at this point, but that's the type of thing that I'm interested in. So that's kind of a brief update on me, KD2HQI.
Very good. So it's HQY or HPY? I'm sorry.
Hotel Papa Yankee.
Okay, I did get it right. My ears are playing games with me. All right, very good. Well, welcome. That is just fantastic. Really is. And Frank, thank you for being his Elmer. That's absolutely wonderful. Frank's a pretty sharp guy, learns quick. And I suspect if you hang around with him, that you're probably pretty sharp yourself. Bunch of people on this repeater with both computer backgrounds, IT backgrounds, and telecommunications background. Don used to work for Verizon, or actually New Jersey Bell. I don't know which he retired from, actually. Or did he retire from Bell Atlantic? I don't even remember. But I work for AT&T. Somebody else works for a phone company. I'm trying to remember who, but... We also have people who are ex-print media people on the editorial side, actually. And we have a bunch of technical project manager types in here, too. And a couple of mechanics, a couple of customer care people in their history. Just looking down the list here going, oh, we have an IT security guy. it's quite an eclectic group. So anyway, it's all good. And that's just who logged in tonight. It's real cool. Alrighty. Well, it's great stuff. Real quick, Frank, not Frank, Greg, what are you using for a radio and what are your aspirations? Let the beep come first. Let the repeater drop.
Okay, so right now, let me back up for a second. I'm actually a former 9X employee myself. I used to work over at their Science and Technology Center at Oklahoma Avenue, so I can kind of fit right in. So right now I'm using a Bofang UV-82, purchased because of my interest in the digital with today, because I'm using PRS and some other interesting RAM right now.
That's wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. Okay, good. Actually, I almost went to work there many years ago, and instead I ended up at, briefly at Bell and then Bell Labs, and I've been with AT&T ever since. That was 27 years in Plusco. So it's all good. Alrighty, well that's great. We're glad to have you aboard. It's a pretty smart group here, and pretty handy group. With no further ado, let's go to Steve, WI2W. I think that's a comment or an announcement or whatever.
Hey, 2BAR, this is WI2W. Let's see, two things.
The first is the Barrett Dinner is coming up on Sunday night at 5 o'clock at the Agios in Paramus. If you would like to come to the dinner, there's still time to get your information in. Send an email to David, K2DSL, our club treasurer, or you can drop me an email, let me know you're coming, and you can either put a check in the mail or pay at the door at this point. So, but we do need to know that you're coming ahead of time so we can tell the facility how many dinners to prepare or have ready for us. So looking forward to that. It's always a good time, great food, better company, and Chuck KC2SST's year in review photo slideshow with entertaining music is always a highlight of the evening. So I encourage you, if you've got your tickets, to come. We're going to have a good time. We got quite a group coming. Is that a drop? And the second thing, I was over at the Fairlawn meeting a week or two ago, and Gene WO2W was showing me something on the internet about someone who put a little kit together of a one of these USB receiver dongles, VHF and up receiver dongles, hooked up as an IF panoramic display on a Kenwood TS-480. And the gentleman was supplying a full kit with the dongle and cables and software and instructions for around $60 or $70 on eBay. I thought it was a pretty interesting deal, given that he's done all the homework. But a couple of us have done some research, and we figured out how to put this whole system together for a lot less. And we've ordered a couple of the dongles, so in the near future we'll be able to demo that and share what we've done, if it works, and we think it's going to work. You can also use the same kind of a setup for other radios, other HF radios that have one of the IFs in the VHF range. So I'm going to have a play with that at the end of this year, beginning of next. Back to that, KTBAR, WIGW.
Stand by. Problem here. My Fios is not happy about my ham radio. Stand by.
There we go. Alright, W2TTT. Let's see if that's any better.
I have an echo.
Go ahead, Don.
You were echoing there, you said if that was it, but that was better.
Sorry. That's your net. I'd like some more power to jump in. Alright, that's better. Alright, we're going to try that. Hopefully that's going to work. I'm on low power on an HT, taking out the living room TV, so clearly something screwed up in my Fios. Oh, I hate that. All right. Anyway, so that sounds like a really interesting kit, Steve. So how is that different than using a DVB-DT and the Spectrum software that's available for that at, let's say, 70 megahertz? Shouldn't that work just fine?
Well, that's what this is, and we've discovered that we can order these DVT dongles for $9.73 shipped, which is what we've done. And you chop off the it comes with an antenna with a cable. You chop off the antenna, put a couple connectors on, and you can either hook it direct to the IF inside the radio, or you can go through an isolation transformer or even a buffer board with a little bit of gain. So a couple different ways to accomplish it. But certainly, with some free software and $10 and a little bit of solder and connectors, it looked like a pretty interesting solution.
Yeah, the real trick is to make sure that don't load the circuit down. So either buffering or isolating, in case maybe if you create a high Z input, and couple it to the input of the receiver, DSP, you're good.
Looks like a fun winter project, and applicable to lots of other radios other than the 480. But I happen to have a 480, and so do a couple of my friends, so we're going to give that a shot first.
Excellent. Excellent, excellent, excellent. Alrighty. You know, Woody, AK2F, had messed with that a year or so ago, and it basically did that exact thing for his, ICOM IC756 Pro 2, and works really effectively. So you should have no trouble with it at all. It's a great idea, great project. Anybody have any comments for Steve? Station go.
K2BAR, W2ACP. Yes, Steve, if you're ordering TV dongles, I'll drop you a mail so I could go in on the outside order. When I was in Ireland, I picked up at a ham fest a thing called a hammered up converter that basically takes one of those DV dongles and then basically converts it into the HF spectrum. I've been sitting on my desk, it isn't going anywhere, I just need to, you know, get off my ha-ha and go order a DV dongle to actually work with it. So I'll drop you a mail on that. It's, lots of fun stuff on those. With that, I'll send it back to K2VR from W2APP.
Yeah, let me make a little commercial announcement, as it were. A lot of us use the ComTech group on Yahoo groups. CF Charlie Oscar Mike Tango Echo Charlie Hotel Golf Romeo Oscar Uniform Papa ComTech group, all one word. And if you can't find it, just drop me a note at www.tangotangotango@arl.net. And I'll get you hooked up on the content group if you can't find it on Yahoo groups. But the roster, the notes from the net, and other things all show up there. And you're more than welcome to join. We'd love to have you there. Paul, if you would post that reference directly to the contact group, that would be helpful, okay?
Okay.
Alrighty. Very good. Alright, with anybody else have any comments? Okay, Steve, anything final?
No, just a follow-up for your email. I saw one of the up converters at some point, but it was some time back. This particular approach uses I think it's a 73 megahertz IF, which is well within the range of the dongle, which goes from that 73 megahertz, it should work. But as a standalone receiver, that's a pretty interesting, very low cost, interesting idea to get a pretty sophisticated SDR for just a few dollars. I suppose you could couple that with a little couple transistor QRP rig and have a lot of fun. So anyway, back to next. Thanks, Gordon. K2BAR, WI2W.
Okay, very good. Very, very good. That warms the cockles of my heart to hear people are starting to do this more and more. You're going to find that there's a lot of opportunity to do that. And, you know, frankly, you could build a high impedance tap on the antenna lead for the DVBTT. And in fact, I've got two or three of them for various purposes that are already committed. But using them as a generic spectrum scope is just wonderful. In fact, if you have enough horsepower, you can even find a waterfall display to go with it. Kind of look at the spectral density on LTE that way. That's what I've been using it for. It works really, really well. It's not super accurate, but it doesn't have to be. It gives you a sense for power density, where things are, you know, where the scheduler is using, where the scheduler and the transmitter is putting the signals. The user signals, whether or not they're using the full physical resource block of an LTE carrier. Interesting to watch. Anyway, Devils will be taking a penalty in a moment, but they're up 4-2, by the way, for those who care over Toronto Maple Leafs in Toronto. So that's a good thing. And some of the kids are playing well. All right, so with that, anybody else? Okay, very good, Steve. Steve. Thank you for bringing up that. And hope to see more people at the dinner. It'd be great to have more people at the dinner. Steve, you want to give your call sign and your email one more time?
Sure. My call sign is WI2W Whiskey India 2 Whiskey. And my email is whiskeyindia2whiskey, or actually it's WI2W@ARRL.net.
Right, so if you're just in front of the drop to you a note, we'll get it on today, et cetera, et cetera. Love to have people at the dinner. It's all suit and fun. It's 5 o'clock on Sunday at the Agio, so yum, yum, yum. So, Bajanos, which is it, Steve? I'm sorry.
It is at Biagio's in Paramus. Biagio's.
Right, Biagio's in Paramus, not the other place, the other time. Good, we'll just leave it at that. Good, excellent. All right, with no further ado, Mr. Noel, tell us about this kind of a 40-inch thing. Is that a RH650 Sierra?
The antenna's in the RH660S Sam. Costs like $15. Same SMA to fit the Mofung that you have, fits this one. Lightweight, I guess folded maybe 15 inches, and when you pull it up, it's somewhere in the 40-inch range. What I find interesting is I really think the feed point on this is at the top, and you're somehow using the length of the coil on the outside as part of the outer point. And so by the time your hand gets involved, you're at a much higher impedance point. Let me drop it for a second. Because this thing times out after about a minute or so, it says, to hell with you. I got to find that setting and switch it a little bit. It would be good for somebody I know in Fairlawn, however. Anyways, I've spent too much time thinking about it because my thinking is muddy, to say the least. They've adequately medicated with me, and I am adequately medicated. I think I'll be here for another, possible 3 or 4 weeks, which stresses me since I want to go south. But it is what it is. So I stay here, I do the best I can, and I got these toys to play with. The only other problem I'm having is hooking the output of the Bofung to my J-pole. The J-pole with the B and C. And I didn't have the right connectors, and I ordered. Turns out they come from someplace else. And I also ordered a small cable, so I'm not pulling directly against the output of this. I rubber band the cable to the case, and I'm pulling against the cable. So if I break that, I break this $4 cable rather than the radio itself. So I'm having fun with it. I bought also the 3800 amp-hour battery. These things are so cheap that you can go crazy, insane, buy everything possible, and still you're less than $100. I got a red case so I can match Gordon's too, by the way, so it's glow in the dark. Back to net. KKBR and Twilio.
Yeah, okay, very good. Very, very good. A little bit, sorry about that. I got to do a little bit of a side tone so I can make sure that the HD is not in the null. But here we go, it's better. Alrighty, that's good. So it's a Diamond RH660 Sierra, right?
Nowhere on that is the word diamond. Just search for RH660S. All it says on it is 144/430 megahertz and wide band coverage. So I believe this is a clone of some sort. And to a young.
Very good. So, very nice. It's it covers two bands. It's all good. Very, very good. Alrighty. Anything else you want to add, Mr. Noel, or anybody have any comments for Noel? Alrighty. Thank you very much. And we will carefully move on, but thank you for that recommendation. I also want to point out that the radio you have is a UV-8R, right? A UV-8R, it's a 7-watt handy-talkie.
F-8-HP, Bofeng, B-A-O-F-E-N-G.
Let's try that model number one.
Okay. B is in boy, F is in Frank, hyphen. F is in Frank, the number 8. H is in Harry, P is in Peter.
Okay, Bravo Foxtrot, dash, Foxtrot 8 Hotel Papa, got it. All right, very good. That's an interesting little 8-watt radio or 7-watt radio. That's good to know. So we'll make a note in the notes about that too. For those who need a HT with some oomph and they don't have the ability to put up a whole lot of stuff, this may be the solution.
KD2GUW disconnected.
Okay, Alex, your turn. KD2FTA, K2BAR.
Good evening, K2BOR and the net. My question is a real simple one, actually. Looking to purchase a Wyndham antenna. I was originally going to go with a G5RV inverted V configuration in the backyard, but decided that I'm not going to have nearly the space that I need. So I'm going to, two things, I'm going to go down, I'm going to go from 40 meters to 6 meters operation in an inverted V dipole setup. And the question is really simple. What height should I put the inverted V, what's the minimum height I should put the inverted V to operate safely at 40 meters? And when I mean safely, it's basically get a good signal out. This is KD2FTA, back over to net control.
Well, ideally it wouldn't be an inverted V, right?
Ideally it'd be a flat top, but I don't have the I don't have the ability to make it a flat top, so it'll be an inverted V configuration from a central location, and it would be an off-center, you know, an OCF configuration with 50 ohm feed.
Well, that's fine. What you want to do is get the feed point as high as possible, and you want the long leg to be as high as possible. The short leg can be just that short. That can be your more acute angle. So, but you know, you're going to jam it wherever you got to jam it, but height is good. So do with what you got, and you'll be fine.
Okay, very good then. I'm going to go, the best I can do is 35 feet above the ground. So I guess that'll be it. So this is KD2FTA, back over to you, net control.
Yeah, a couple of things you might want to think about. You know, 35 feet on, let's say, 40 meters and such, it's going to be a little, you know, it'll work. It'll work very well. And you're going to work a lot of DF. If you have a problem at the end, you know, on one end or the other, then do your best to elevate it as much as possible. If you don't have the ability to elevate the end of the wire, where the wire ends, then if you have property, what you do is extend the rope beyond the insulator as far as you can in order to maintain the minimal slope and therefore keep the maximal elevation of the copper portion of the span. Follow me?
Roger that. Like you had mentioned earlier, I would want to take the long leg, which, you know, the long leg, and try to get the end of that leg up maybe 10 or 15 feet above the ground, It won't, of course, not be a flat top, but it'll have a much shallower angle, and then the short leg will have probably the it'll be short, like you said, but it'll have the higher angle going downward. KD2 FTA, back over to you, net control.
Exactly. By the way, it's 5-2, double tilde penalties and scored. Another beautiful bang bang goal. Alrighty, very good. Anybody else have any thoughts regarding this for Alex?
WI2W.
Go right ahead, Steve.
Hi, Alex. My experience with off-center fed antennas is usually they have a 4-to-1 balance at the feed point, and sometimes they don't work very well on the lowest band. You can't really seem to get them tuned. The trick to making them work is to put a 1-to-1 balance right behind the 4-to-1 balance, a choke balance, and all of a sudden everything is hunky-dory and it works well. So after you get it up in the air, see how it goes.
Okay, so you're saying, the unit I'm looking to purchase is a 4-to-1 balun at the top. So you're saying underneath that 4-to-1, have a small splice of coax and go, go 1-to-1 with a current balun, and then feed 50 ohms down to the transmitter.
Correct, but only if it doesn't work as designed. I don't know who you're going to get it from, what their balance like. But I just helped a friend of mine put one up a few weeks ago, and it worked okay on the higher bands, but it didn't work on 40 meters, or actually on 75 meters. So we put a choke right underneath the 4-to-1 balun, and then it worked great. So just something to keep in the back of your mind in case it doesn't work after you get it up in the air on the lowest band.
Very good. Thank you for the advice. It's greatly appreciated. KD2 FTA, back over to net control, and I'll say my 73s to everyone on the net tonight. It's always a great net to listen to.
Yeah, I'm going to add one other point to that is I've also found the 1-to-1 balance to be useful underneath it to keep RF out, because I tend to use these damn things in portable operations where the radio and all the power supply and all the other stuff is way too close. I mean, way too close to the antenna, and as a consequence, there's RF feedback. So you really want to find a way to solve that riddle, and the choke balance solves that problem too. In fact, all my portable stations always have a 1-to-1 balance, always. I'm going to be honest, I don't know why you're buying one as opposed to just building it yourself. I mean, it's not that hard. If wire is the one component you need, for a whole lot of reasons, having a spool of number 10 or number 12 stranded wire from your local electrical supply or even your scrapyard is a beautiful thing. Insulated or not, it doesn't matter. I think I have a roll and a half of number 12 stranded insulated wire from Home Depot here for various purposes. And, for one reason or another, I've acquired two, but I use it for all my wire antennas. Great stuff. And it's something else to think about. Anybody else have suggestions for Alex?
WA2CLP.
I'm sorry, who is that?
WA2CLP.
Oh, wow. WA2CLP, go right ahead. Yeah.
Well, I used a 40-meter dipole. It was up about 40 feet, maybe 35, 40 feet. It had about 90 feet of ladder line on it. A 4-to-1 balun in the shack, and then about 20 feet of coax to the rig. It worked on 40 meters. I used it as a flat top on 80 meters. Worked multi-band, all the bands up to 10 meters. It'll also play on 160, but it was a fair antenna. But it was just simple. And it was very lightweight,
stayed up for many years until the storms took it down. Just some food for thought, WA2CLP.
Okay, again, the dimensions and what bands are covered and what kind of balance you use, coax?
40-meter dipole, about 90 feet of ladder line into the shack, a 4-to-1 ballon in the shack, about 20 feet of coax between the ballon and the rig, the coax switch in the middle of that. And it worked on everything. It worked really 160 to 10, played best on 40, worked good for DX on 80 as a flat top because a big portion of the ladder line hung down as a vertical. And it played all the bands, 80 through 10, fair on 160. That's how it played.
I got it all, Dan. Okay, so you start with a 40-meter dipole, 90 feet of ladder line, then a 4-to-1 ballon at the shack entry point, and 20 feet of coax into the shack. And it worked on 80 through 10 reliably, and you had even had some mixed results on 160. That's not bad. But it was cut for 66 feet, basically?
That's right, 66 feet. Lightweight. There's no weight up in the center of the antenna. I have a 20-meter version of the same thing now, which will also play on 40 meters. It's hard to load it on 80, but I could probably get it to work on 80. You have to fool around with the coax in the shack when you want to use it on a band below 40 meters. If you pull out the coax and only connect it to the center, it played a little better on 80 meters by a couple of notches. That's it. WA2CLP back to net.
Okay, very good. So the 20-meter version you have is shorter. You still have 90 feet of ladder line?
I'm not sure how many feet of ladder line I have because I put together a bunch of stuff that was laying around and spliced it. It's probably about 90 feet, maybe. I'm not really. It may be 90. It may be about the same. It might be about still about 90 feet, maybe slightly shorter than that. WA2CLP.
I've added that to the notes. Again, ComCheck group will have this stuff. All right, well, thank you for that. We're checking you in, too, by the way. Just calling you to help. All righty. By the way, will we see you at the dinner this weekend?
Yes, myself and the bride will be coming, and we're looking forward to it. So, yes, you will be seeing us. WA2CLP.
Oh, very good. My bride will resolve to it. In her case, I remember she'll be there. As well, that's great. A couple of years ago, so excited to go to dinner. All right. Anybody else have any comments about this? Oh, Alex, if you were taking notes or weren't taking notes, I have all of them. So, the configuration you recommend is similar to something I've heard KQ.O referenced as well, where you use a ladder line at the shack entry point, and then that goes from there. The rooster, because you've got to, you know, maintain your ladder line away from, structure, field thing, and so it's really a mess. And the devil's going to take another time. Alrighty. We still have 5 to 2 minutes to go. All good. Alrighty. With no further ado, anybody else? Alright, any last things, Alex?
Yeah, pretty satisfied with all the answers and got plenty to work with. KD2FTA, back to net control.
Okay, very good. I just wanted to point out tonight we had our best DX, KB2TRW, stroke BV via Echo. And Kai, if you're still there, I would love to have you here. I'd have you make a transmission to everybody here out of Crystal 3, your voice is by Echo. Okay, all right, no problem, I can be done. He said he was about to start his work day, so that makes perfect sense. Alrighty, do we have any other questions or comments for the next? Oh, actually, yeah, I'm going to put Randy on the spot. little bit about some of the progress, et cetera?
Well, there's not too much to add since last week. I mean, there's been a good deal of progress on the mesh network development with testing, tunneling. There's still some more to work to be done, but the primary focus of effort is on making sure that we've got good scripts that will help install tunnels very well. So that's the big useful development that's going on. And then Gordon and I also started a conversation about future services for how we would control access to a variety of applications and network services as these mesh networks potentially got larger. So that's just